Was not Count John here at supper? I saw him not.
Oh, how tartly that gentleman looks. I never can see him, but I'm heartburned and power after.
He is in a very melancholy disposition.
You're an excellent man that were made just in the midway between him and Benedict. The one is too like an image and says nothing. The other, too like my lady's eldest son, ever more tattling.
Then half Senior Benedict's tongue in Count John's mouth, yes, and half Count John's melancholy in Senior Benedict's face.
With a good leg and a good foot, Uncle, and money enough in his purse, such a man could win any woman in the world, if he could get her goodwill.
Ah, by my throat, niece, thou would never get thee a husband if thou be so shrewd of thy tongue.
In faith, she's too cursed.
Too cursed is more than cursed. I will lessen God's sending that way. For it is said, God sends a cursed cow short horns, but to a cow too cursed, he sends none.
So, by being too cursed, God will send you no horns.
Just if he send me no husband. For the which blessing, I am at him upon my knees every morning and evening. Oh, Lord, I could not endure a husband with a beard on his face. I'd rather lie in the woolen.
Well, you may light on a husband that hath no beard.
What should I do with him? Dress him in my apparel and make him my waiting gentlewoman. He that hath a beard is more than a youth, and he that hath no beard is less than a man. And he that is more than a youth is not for me. And he that is less than a man, I am not for him. Therefore, I will take sixpence in earnest of the bear ward and lead his apes into hell.
Well then, go you into hell?
No, but to the gate. And there will the devil meet me, like an old cuckold with horns on his head, and say, get you to heaven, Beatrice. Get you to heaven. Here's no place for you maids. So, deliver I up my apes and away to Peter for the heavens. He shows me where the bachelors sit, and there live we as merry as the day is long.
Well, niece, I trust you will be ruled by your father.
Oh, yes, faith, it is my cousin's duty to make curtsy and say, Father, as it please you. But for all that, cousin, let him be a handsome fellow. Or else, make another curtsy and say, Father, as it please me.
Well, niece, I hope to see you one day fitted with a husband.
No, not till God make men of some other metal than earth. Would it not grieve a woman to be overmastered by a piece of valiant dust? To take an account of her life to a clod of wayward marl? No, uncle. I'll none. Adam's sons are my brethren, and truly I hold it a sin to match in my kindred.
Daughter, remember what I told you. If the prince do solicit you in that kind, you know your answer.
The fault will be in the music, cousin, if you be not wooed in good time. If the prince be too important, tell him there is measure in everything, and so dance out the answer. To hear me, Hera. Wooing, wedding, and repenting is as a Scotch jig, a measure, and a syncopate. The first suit is hot and hasty as a Scotch jig, and full of fantastical. The wedding, mannerly modest as a measure, full of state and ancientry. And then comes repentance, and with his bad legs falls into the syncopace faster and faster until he sink into his grave.
Niece, you apprehend passing truly.
I have a good eye, uncle. I can see a church by daylight.
The revelers are entering, brother. Make good room.
Oh,
will you walk about with your friend?
So you walk softly and look sweetly and say nothing. I am yours for the walk. Especially when I walk away.
With me in your company?
I may say so when I please.
But when please you to say so?
When I like your favor. For God defend the lute. Should be like the king.
My visor is Philemon's root. Within the house is Job.
So then, your visor should be thatched.
Speak low, if you speak loud. Well, would you like me?
Who would not I, for your own sake? For I have many ill qualities.
Which is one?
I say my prayers aloud.
I love you no matter. The hearers may cry, Amen.
God catch me with a good dancer.
Ah, man!
God, take him out of my sight when the dance is done. On the clock.
Never would, the clock is answered.
I know you well enough. You are Signor Antonio.
As a word, I am not.
I know you by the waggling of your head.
Tell you true, I counterfeit him.
You could never do him so ill well unless you were the very man. And with his dry hand up and down.
You are he, you are he.
As a word, I am not.
Now.
But I was disdainful. But I had my good wit out of 100 merry tales. Well, it was Signor Benedict that said so.
What he?
Oh, I'm sure you know him well enough.
Not I, believe me.
Did he ever make you laugh?
I pray you, what is it?
Why, he is the prince's jester. A very dull fool. Only his gift is in devising impossible slanders. None but libertines delight in him. And the commendation lies not in his wit, but in his villainy, for he both pleases men and angers them. And then they laugh at him and beat him. I'm sure he did not beat. Oh, I wouldn't have thought of me.
When I know the gentleman, I'll tell him what you say.
Do. Yeah, but break a comparison or two upon me, which peradventure not marked or not laughed at, strikes him as a melancholy. And then there's a partridge wing saved, for the fool will eat no supper that night. What do you call it, sir?
In every good thing.
No, if they lead to any ill, I'll leave them at the next turning.
Brother is amorous on Hero, and hath withdrawn her father to break with him about it. The ladies follow her, and but one visor remains.
And that is Claudio. I know him by his bearing.
Are not you Signor Benedict?
You know me well. I am he.
Signor, you are very near my brother in his love. He is enamored on Hero. I pray you dissuade him from her. She is no equal for his birth. You may do the part of an honest man yet.
How know you he loves her?
I heard him swear his affection.
So did I, too. And he swore he would marry her tonight.
Come, let us to the banquet.
Thus answer I in name of Benedict. But hear these ill news with the ears of Claudia. It is certain so, the prince woos for himself. Friendship is constant in all other things save in the office and affairs of love. Therefore, all hearts in love use their own tongues, and every eye negotiate for itself and trust no agent. For beauty is a witch against whose charms faith melteth into blood. This is an accident of hourly proof which I mistrusted not. Farewell, therefore, Hero.
Count Claudio.
Yea, the same.
Come, will you go with me?
Whither?
Even to the next willow. About your own business, count it. What fashion will you wear the garland of, huh? About your neck like a usurer's chain, or under your arm like a lieutenant's scarf? But you must word it one way, for the prince hath got your Hero.
I wish him joy of him.
That's spoken like an honest drover. So they sell bullocks. But did you think the prince would have served you thus?
I pray you leave me.
Oh, now you'll strike the blind man. It was the boy who stole your meat, and now you'll beat the post.
If it will not be, I'll leave you.
Alas, poor hurt fowl. Now will he creep into sedges. But that my lady Beatrice should know me, and not know me. Princess fool. Maybe I go under that title because I am merry. Yea, but so I'm apt to do myself wrong. I'm not so reputed. It is the base, the bitter disposition of Beatrice that puts the world into her person and so gives me out. Well, I'll be revenged as I may.
Now, Signor, where's the Count?
Did you see him?
Hmm. I found him here, as melancholy as a lodge in a warren. I told him, true, that your grace had got the goodwill of this young lady.
Uh-huh.
And I offered him my company to a willow tree, to make him a garland that has been forsaken, or bind him up a rod, as worthy to be whipped.
To be whipped? Mm. What's his fault?
For the flat transgression of the schoolboy, who being overjoyed at finding a bird's nest, shows it his companion, and he steals it.
Wilt thou make a trust, a transgression? The transgression is in the stealer.
Yet it had not been amiss, the rod had been made, and the garland, too, for the garland he might have worn himself, and the rod he might have bestowed on you, who, as I take it, have stolen his bird's nest.
I will but teach them to sing, and restore them to the owner.
Ah. If their singing answer your saying, by my faith, you say honestly.
The Lady Beatrice hath a quarrel to you. The gentleman that danced with her told her she is much wronged by you.
Oh! She misused me past the endurance of a block! An oak, but with one green leaf on it, would have answered her. My very visor began to assume life and scold with her. She told me, not thinking I had been myself, that I was the prince's jester.
Oh.
Hmm. That I was duller than a great thaw, huddling jest upon jest, with such impossible conveyance that I stood like a man at a mark, with a whole army shooting at me. She speaks poniards, and every word stabs. If her breath were as terrible as her terminations, there were no living near her. Hmm. She would infect to the North Star. I would not marry her, though she were endowed with all that Adam had left him before he transgressed. Come, talk not of her. You shall find the infernal Arte in good apparel. I would to God some scholar would conjure her. For certainly while she is here, a man may live as quiet in hell as in a sanctuary, and people sin upon purpose because they would go thither. So indeed all disquiet, horror, and perturbation follows her.
Look, here she comes.
Will your grace command me any service to the world's end? I will go on the slightest errand now to the antipodes that you can devise to send me on. I will fetch you a toothpicker now from the furthest inch of Asia, bring you a length of Prester John's foot, fetch you a hair off the great Chan's beard, do you any embassage to the Pygmies rather than hold 3 words conference with this harpy. You have no employment for me?
None, but to desire your good company.
God. Hear the dish I love not. I cannot endure my lady tongue.
Come, lady, come. You have lost the heart of Signor Benedict.
Indeed, my lord. He lent it me a while, and I gave him good use for it. A double heart for his single one. Marry, once before he won it of me with false dice. Therefore, your grace may well say I have lost.
You have put him down, lady. You have put him down.
So I would not. You should do me, my lord. Lest I should prove the mother of fools. I have brought Count for you.
Why, how long, Count? Wherefore are you sad?
Not sad, my lord.
Well, how then? Sick?
Neither, my lord.
The Count is neither sad nor sick, nor merry nor well. But civil, Count. Civil as an orange, and something of that jealous complexion.
In faith, lady, I think you're blazoned to be true. Though I'll be sworn, if he be so, his conceit is false. Here, Claudio, I have wooed in thy name, and fair hero is won. I have broke with her father, and his goodwill obtained. Name the day of marriage, and God give thee joy.
And take of me my daughter, and with her my fortunes. His grace hath made the match, and all grace say amen.
Count, is it you?
Silence is the perfectest herald of joy. I were but a little happy if I could say how much. Lady, as you are mine, I am yours. I give away myself for you, and dote upon the exchange.
gentlemen. Or if you cannot, stop his mouth with a kiss and let him not speak neither.
Oh. In faith, lady, you have a merry heart.
Yea, my lord. I thank it. Poor fool. Keeps on the windy side of care. Oh, my cousin tells him in his ear that he is in her heart.
And so she does, cousin.
Good lord for a lion. Well, thus goes everyone to the world but I. I may sit in a corner and cry, hey-ho for a husband. Oh.
Lady Beatrice, I will get you one.
I'd rather have one of your father's getting. Have your grace now a brother like you? Your father got excellent husbands, if a maker come by them.
Will you have me, lady?
No, my lord. Unless I might have another for working days. Your grace is too costly to wear every day. But I beseech your grace. Pardon me. I was born to speak all mirth and no matter.
Your silence most offends me. And to be merry best becomes you. For out of question, you were born in a merry hour.
No, sure, my lord. My mother cried. But then there was a star danced, and under that was I born. Cousin! Oh, God give you joy.
Niece, will you look to those things I told you?
I cry your mercy, uncle. By your grace's pardon.
By my troth, a pleasant-spirited lady.
There's little of the melancholy element in her, my lord. She's never sad, but when she sleeps, another sad then. I've heard my daughter say, she's often dreamt of unhappiness and waked herself with laughing.
She cannot endure to hear tell of her husband.
Oh, by no means. She mocks all her wooers out of suit.
She were an excellent wife for Benedict.
Oh, lord, my lord, if they were but a week married, they would talk themselves mad.
Kindly, Claudio, when mean you to go to church?
Tomorrow, my lord. Time goes on crutches to love her lord's brother.
Not till Monday, my dear son. Which is it? So just 7 nights? That time too brief, too, to have all things answer my mind.
Come, you shake the head at so long a breathing. But I warrant thee, Claudio, the time shall not go dully by us. I will, in the interim, undertake one of Hercules' labors, which is to bring Signor Benedict and the Lady Beatrice into a mountain of affection, the one with the other. I would fain have it a match, and I doubt not but to fashion it, if you three will but minister such assistance as I shall give you direction.
My lord, I implore you, though it cost me 10 nights watching.
And I, my lord.
And you too, gentle hero.
I would do any modest office, my lord, to help my cousin to a good husband.
And Benedict is not the unhopeless husband that I know. But thus far, can I praise him? He is of a noble strain, of approved valor, and confirmed honesty. I will teach you how to humor your cousin that she shall fall in love with Benedict. And I, with your two helps, will so practice on Benedict that in despite his quick wit and his queasy stomach, he shall fall in love with Beatrice. If we can do this, Cupid is no longer an archer. His glory shall be ours, for we are the only love gods. Go in with me, and I will tell you my drift.